Good morning and welcome to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Sefer Koheles, the Megillah of Koheles, which is one of the five Megillahs. And before we actually start the text, we're going to take a look at the overview of Sefer Koheles. In overview, it is 222 psukim long and is divided into 12 prakim. As we know, the chapter divisions were not a Jewish addition, they were a Christian addition, which means we don't really need to pay too much attention to them in terms of meaning. And in fact, we'll see in Sefer Koheles that a number of the divisions are in fact ignoring connecting psukim from one perek to the next. So we're going to pay very little attention to them necessarily. Koheles Rabbah, which is one of the central midrashim on Koheles, divides it up into three sedarim, which means three major areas or chapters. That is, from Perek Aleph through Vav is the first seder. The second seder is Perek Zayin through Tes, halfway through Tes to Pasuk Vav, and then the rest of it from Perek Tes is Pasuk Zayin till the end of Perek Yud Beis. And there's obviously many micro sections, but it would be too nitty-gritty right now, certainly without the text in front of us, to go through each of the specific sections. We'll try to unpack them as we can when we get there. In terms of authorship, who wrote the book of Koheles? The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, is very clear about this. It describes how Shlomo Melech wrote Koheles, Shir HaShirim, and Mishlei. In fact, the Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah goes so far as to describe and debate as to when it was that he wrote these three Sfarim. The opinion of Rabbi Chiya Rabbah is that he wrote first Mishlei, then Shir HaShirim, and then Koheles. This is based on a pasuk in Melachim Aleph Perek Vav, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis, in which it said, Vaydaber, when Shlomo Melech was at the apex of his power, he spoke Shloshes Alafim Mashal, 3,000 parables, Vayhi Shiroi Chamisha Va'elef, and his songs were 1,005. So you see that the Mishalim, the Mishlei, comes before the Shir HaShirim, before the songs. However, Rabbi Nassan disagrees and says that it goes Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and then Koheles, because Shir HaShirim was written in his youth, in his days of emotive experience, in the days of his youth, and then as he grew older, he had the perspective of Mishalim, of parables, and as he grew older and more sober to life, then ultimately he was able to pen Koheles. There are those who deny, although in Chazal, without equivocation, without any second opinion, it is attributed to Shlomo HaMelech, there are those who say that it could not be Shlomo HaMelech. Interestingly enough, within the Jewish quarter, there is a later author by the name of Rav Shlomo David Lutzato, the Shadal, who writes in his introduction that it was written by a later person by the name of Koheles, and there are many academics who in fact follow this route. They argue that perhaps it was the times of the Greeks in the second base of the Mikdash. They have questions about dating, word usages, and themes. But in the end of the day, all of this is real conjecture, and there are no real alternative which is suggested. There's no specific person which has been proven to be. It's just, well, there seems to be some difficulties which are brought up. I'd like to just make note of a few indications which make it pretty clear that it is Shlomo HaMelech. Number one, in Perek Aleph it says that he was a king in Yerushalayim. So we've now limited the pool of who the people could be to a very small amount of people. That's only the first base of Mikdash, and arguably at the second half of the second base of Mikdash, when you have the kings of the Hashmonaim dynasty. The next thing, he says he describes himself the son of David. That seems to be on the most basic level referring to the son of David. Those who argue would say, well, it means a scion of David. But again, that's taking it out of its literal meaning, which itself is a difficulty. And then in Perek Bay, he describes his great wealth, his property, his slaves, all things which are clearly described explicitly in Sefer Melachim about Shlomo. He also describes the great wisdom that he has, also something described clearly in Sefer Melachim Aleph. In Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches, he says, Adam echad me'elef motzasi v'isha b'chol eile lo motzasi. I found one person worth having a relationship among men, and in 1,000 women, not one. It is interesting that in Sefer Melachim Aleph, we know that Shlomo Melech did marry 1,000 women. That is an explicit Pasuk. There are also other many similarities between the parables of Koheles and Mishlei, both penned by Shlomo Melech. Rav Mordechai Zer Kavod, in his introduction to the Da'at Mikra, suggests that this is not just that Chazal were speculating and wondering and saying, no, wouldn't it be interesting if it were to be Shlomo? They were transmitting a tradition from yore, from the days of yore, earlier on, that this was in fact Shlomo. And therefore, we are going to go with that perspective, the perspective of the unequivocal perspective of Chazal, which that is Koheles, is Shlomo. The question is if it is Shlomo, then why should it be called Koheles? Why is that the name of the book? So the Midrash in Koheles says that it was said by Shlomo HaMelech at Hakel. What is Hakel? Hakel is the time when the congregation, when the nation of Israel comes together, they are gathered from the word Kehillah, Kahakel, and that's when he would speak these ideas. And in fact, we have an explicit moment in history when that occurred in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph Oz V'yakhel Shlomo Ziknei Yisrael is called Rosh HaMatos. There's a moment in history which is explicit when this occurred. Rashi in Ibn Ezra said that the word Koheles does not mean coming from the time, the setting in which this book was rendered, but rather it is a description of all the ideas pooled together. The ideas were congregated together, and we'll see that there are many disparate ideas. As a fun fact, in English, we call it the Book of Ecclesiastes. That's actually a Greek word, which means member of an assembly. Therefore, actually, the idea of the preacher, as the Septuagint has it, Ecclesiastes means to say, like Yakel, gathering together, which is like the pshat in the Midrash as well. It should be obvious to us that Shlomo HaMelech was trying to eclipse his personality by using this name Koheles, which means on the one hand, he wants it to be with the life experience that he garnered, which is unique to a person of his immense wealth, wisdom, and station, but yet he also wanted it to be divorced from his personality so that regular passers-by and proletariats would be able to access it. Who is the audience of Koheles? So the Avudraham quotes the Ibn Yarchi, who says the minhag is to read Koheles on the festival of Sukkot, or Sukkos. Why? So he quotes a pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph in Koheles, which says, Ten chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmona, give a portion to 7 and to 8. And the Gemara in Eruvin Daf Mem Amud Beis says this refers to Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. Rozer Kavod explains that this is paying the allegiances, the pledges that a person had committed to bring its karbonos on the festival of Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. It is also interesting that Sukkos is a time of Hakel, that once in a 7-year procedure, which would be when all of Israel will come to the Beis Hamikdash to hear the king speak to them, Hakel was on Sukkos, which makes a lot of sense if Koheles was about Hakel. It's interesting, the Magen Avraham, on his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, in Simon, Taf Reish, Tzadi, Sif Koton, Zayin, says that because Sukkos is a time of Simcha, we need to have Koheles to put a damper on it. After all, this is the harvest season, everybody's bringing in their wealth now, they feel fulfilled, it's been a good year, they are likely to be a little more frivolous, so therefore they read, what is Simcha in life? And they read the more sobering aspects of Koheles to balance that. The Netzira, Natari Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his introduction to Shir HaShirim, points out that the reason it's on Sukkos is because, as opposed to Pesach, which was about the redemption and the creation of the nation of Israel, and therefore the Megillah we read on at Shir HaShirim is about the particular relationship of Hashem with the nation of Israel among all the banot, of all the daughters, when it comes to Kohelet, Kohelet is on the universal festival. Sukkos, in fact, is about all the nations. We bring Korbanos for the 70 nations of the world. It's the universal festival. We read the universal Megillah, which is about the human condition. Koheles is not about the particularistic nature of the nation of Israel. It is about the relationship of a human being and finding meaning in his life. In fact, the name of Hashem appears only as the word Elohim, which, in fact, is, so to speak, the power, the all-powerful omniscient in this world, which is something which even the nations of the world can relate to. In terms of theme, Chazal's looked at each pasuk individually to plumb its depth. They've not spent so much time looking at overarching themes and connections. The Mefarshim, including Rav Sadia Gaon, the Rasag, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, tried to zoom out a little bit and try to put together sections and understand meaning. In fact, sometimes Rashi will even give precedent over a medrash to a pshat, which explains a cluster of psukim together. However, Zedatim Mepharshim tried to put it all together and see grander themes, how all the sections are interconnected, but they really did struggle because it's not so easy to see the plot and the idea, the central idea which weaves its way through. However, having said that, it does seem to be that this is the musings, the broodings, the thoughts of a philosophical man who's experienced life, a person who's tried to find meaning in his man's search for meaning, and he's not found it in wisdom, he's not found it in pleasure, he's not found it in wealth. He finds himself alone, he finds himself questioning the idiosyncrasies of life and the world around him. A number of the themes that he explores involve permanence and transience, life and death, joy and mourning, anger, work and toil, reward, inconsistencies, wisdom and wise people. These are some of the ideas. It's worthwhile noting that, in fact, Koheles is such a, so to speak, contrarian, difficult sefer in certain ways. It raises so many questions that the Gemara describes that they wanted to be goyles, they wanted to exclude Koheles from the canon and remove it. And why was that so? So there are three separate reasons given. One is the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Omer Beis suggests a very fascinating reason. And it says because there are internal contradictions within the psukim. If you read it carefully, it seems that there are many internal contradictions. We'll try to deal with some of them as you go through. The Medrash in Avos to Rebbe Nosson in Perek Aleph says, "Bibnei shehem mishalos ve'enam minaksuvim." They say things which are not, they seem to be frivolous. They seem to be, not the kind of psukim you'd find in Scripture in general. And finally, in Vayikra Rabbah, in Perek Chof Ches, there's another reason which is given, and that is that the Yesh Bo Dvorim Shehem Noitim Letzad Minus. There are certain ideas which are heretical in it. We'll get to see some of those and try to explore what Koheles was trying to do with them. So these are the three reasons. And the Gemara in Shabbos continues and says, but at the end of the day, because it starts and ends with Divrei Torah, with real ideas, central ideas, then ultimately it is included in the canon of Tanakh. What is interesting is one of my teachers, Rabbi J.J. Schechter, has a very beautiful article which he wrote a number of years ago. A very, very powerful, powerful idea, which is that, in fact, if we think about this, the Koheles man, this man who's being described, who is in the dock as to whether he could be included in the canon of Tanakh, in a certain sense, is all of us. After all, aren't we inconsistent? Don't we have internal contradictions like Koheles does? Are there times we say certain things and we don't act that way and our children point it out to us? We don't necessarily add up or measure up to the yardsticks we've created in life. We also live a superficial life. We speak Dvarim She'enam Minaksuvim. We speak frivolously. How many times do we have meaningful conversations? Are we always joking? Are we always sarcastic? Are we always criticizing something? Is anything in our life really meaningful? Do we remember what we were doing last Tuesday? Do you remember what we even ate for breakfast yesterday morning? Is there any meaningful moments in our lives? And third, sometimes we're not in a Divrei Minus. Sometimes we have questions which are perhaps sometimes quite heretical. We have doubts. We wonder if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really involved in our lives. We, in a certain sense, are that Koheles man himself. Let's sing a song for the Koheles man. Let's understand him tonight. Let's understand who this Koheles man is. Because in the end of the day, that Koheles man was still included in Tanakh. Why? Because Tchilas over Sofer Divrei Torah, in the end, he begins and he ends with Divrei Torah. And so to us, we have a little bit of contradictions. We're frivolous. We sometimes have heretical questions. But because we're the begin and end with Torah, we too, like Koheles, are included in the canon. Let's begin Sefer Koheles. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.